morning, Harmony. Why don't you rise in body and spirit and worship with us this morning?
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains.
Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love.
And on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never, ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. One thing remains.
Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love, your love.
In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love.
Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love, your love, your love, your love.
Amen. Give God some praise this morning.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning at the end, beginning at the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
as we go into this next song. I always offer that you can remain standing or you can sit and take in the lyrics of the music. And I love this song because the message is so simple. It simply states and reminds you that you are not alone.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me, defender behind me. I won't fear. I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. I won't fear. And hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my guides me through mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing, restores my soul. Mercy. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for waking us up every single morning and for the privilege of being loved by you, God. It is in your precious and holy Son's name that we say.
So good morning, and what a marvelous way to start off worship. Yes. Amen. Yes, indeed. With excellent music to energize and center us as we praise the Lord. And let us express our appreciation to Melinda and Andrew and Ian, Desi and Elliot. Yes. So I'm Pastor Mark with Harmony Toluca Lake, an awesome and affirming faith community. And it is a joy to be back in person for worship. Yes. And we also are grateful for the opportunity to be able to connect via live stream and have that connection with individuals who are near, far, and wide. And we give thanks for those who have enabled us to implement and enhance our technology. And especially, we give thanks to God. A quick couple of mentions in addition to Compassion Bears, which are here for you to dress up and decorate, and these go to the Pediatric AIDS Clinic. Tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m., Jason Hecht is going to be leading us on another Dining Out with Harmony experience, and we're going to be going to Little Tony's for some scrumptious pizza, another Italian cuisine to enjoy, and all are welcome to attend, and I urge you to do so if you're able, and that's Little Tony's. Next Sunday, we have an outreach opportunity in which we are collecting food donations. And as you can see here behind me, for the San Fernando Valley Interfaith Food Pantry. And so it's perfect timing for the Thanksgiving season, so please bring what you can. So they're looking for things like boxed cereal, canned soup, canned vegetables, I think tuna, canned tuna and chicken. So as you can see me, we're already getting some donations. And next Sunday also, it's so hard to believe, it's like November 21st, right? It's like crazy. Following worship service, we're going to decorate the sanctuary and the exterior as we prepare for the Christmas holidays. So yes, indeed, it's that time of the year, and we're going to have pizza or something else available for lunch. And so we could use your assistance. Please, Loretta's going to be here to give us directions, so that's always a good thing. So please stick around after worship service concludes next Sunday. All right. So with all of this, we give thanks. Yes. All right, and for opportunities for being together and connecting for worship, and for those who are sharing of their gifts and are involved during worship. And today, we want to extend our gratitude again to Melinda and the worship band, as well as Viviana Vasquez, and to Chris Smith, to the production team, and to our hospitality team and our greeters, as well as to Rev Jefferson Beaker, who is now going to lead us in a time of prayer.
I would invite you to get comfortable where you are seated. Just begin to naturally breathe and be aware of each and every breath. Close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. Or just pick a spot in this beautiful sanctuary and gaze upon it. It might be one of the stained glass windows or the cross. And let us be in a spirit of prayer. As we approach the divine spirit God in prayer, we know that at this and all moments, God is hearing us better and more clearly than we are speaking. The divine love of God is ever present and active for us, in far greater ways than we can fully comprehend. In a world that delights and relishes, in a need for cynicism, denial, fear, hatred, and despair, may we be strong and resist the natural temptation to join in that chorus of voices. May we continue to place our trust and our belief in the eternal presence of perfect divine spirit. And as we do so, may we recognize and experience kindness, empathy, and grace for ourselves and for all other beings. With our each and every breath, we pray for the whole of your loving creation, God. The animals, the lovely nature that surrounds and delights us, all the natural resources that we can so easily take for granted. We are all citizens of this glorious planet, and we are called to be good stewards of that for which we have been gifted. Last week, we remembered the things that we have lost during this horrific time, a pandemic. Loved ones who have died, relationships that have been lost, health conditions that changed, careers that have been altered, living conditions that have been forced to change. We wrote out those losses and we placed them within the prayer heart on the wall of our sanctuary. God, we ask that you continue to add your healing presence to these concerns as you also show us our way forward. May we see the light of new beginnings, and may we have new understanding as you direct us step by step, breath by breath, moment by moment. Through it all and in it all, we know you are with us. We are never alone. And for this assurance, we humbly give you thanksgiving, trusting in your eternal presence and love. Listen to our hearts' longings for healing, guidance, and peace for ourselves and for our suffering world. In a moment of silence, I invite each of you to please add your own intentions and prayer requests. And so, as we go forward, may we each be safe. May we live with ease. May we be mindful of God's beautiful grace. And may we each be instruments for reconciliation in our fragmented world. Amen.
Thank you, Jefferson. Hey, everyone, I'm Viviana, and I'm here to talk about the Joy Box, which is the way you can financially give to the church. So in my job, I'm an HR professional, and while I don't make profits or earnings for the companies directly, I do support the people that do, but, you know, by hiring them and giving them guidance and support. So really, I step back and think about it sometimes, like I'm really protecting the most valuable asset of the company, which is the people. And in the same way, you people here in the church are the most important asset the church has. So of course, we do need financial support to keep this ministry going. So we ask that you give as you are able. And remember, even if you're not able because of your individual financial situation, you can always give, you know, through moral support, through spiritual support, praying for the church. So any way that you can give, and it's very easy to do, you can just go to the website, which is hollywoodumc.org. There's a donate button, and you can select the Harmony Ministry. You can also text, the information is on the screen, or even scan, or send a check, or bring a check. So any way you can give, you know, again, whether it's financially, through moral support, praying for the church spiritually, please give generously and with joy. Thank you.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and 16 through 21. The translation is from the Common English Bible. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people that draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father, who knows what you do in secret, will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know that they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Stop collecting treasures for their own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Melinda. So friends, before I start my sermon today, this message, I do want to reiterate what Jefferson had said that happened last week. So as you can see over here, we have a prayer wall, and that's where the heart is. And so those who were not able to participate, even those who did participate, you may have thought of other losses and more losses that you have experienced since the pandemic. And so I would ask that as you are comfortable, over to the side, there is paper, there are pens, and you can add to that prayer wall. And we give those over to God. So today, friends, we begin a two-part sermon series titled, Where Your Treasure Is. Now, I'm going to work off that title this morning with my message, and my message is called Buried Treasure. And it's going to center on the scripture that was read earlier by Chris from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and verses 16 through 21. But specifically, I'm going to place my message and center my message on verses 19 through 21, which state, stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust, they eat them, and where thieves, they break in and they steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them, and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this week when I was reflecting on this passage and these verses, the image of King Tutankhamun came to mind. He was otherwise known as King Tut. And as well as the not so long ago King Tut exhibit, and if I'm not mistaken, it was in 2018. It was over at the California Science Center here in Los Angeles and also traveled around the world. Well, when I was thinking about King Tut, here was someone young, and my understanding is he died at the age of 19, some say 17, so but still young. Well, he was laid in a solid gold inner coffin, and I was like, what's that? Well, what was, if I'm not mistaken, what that meant was his coffin was contained within three separate gold tombs. And as you can see in this picture right behind me and on the screen, there was an annex and an antechamber, and there was the treasury along with the burial chamber. And so that was very interesting. And then, so I was looking further, and it was here that King Tut was buried, and get this, with more than 5,000 objects. And we're talking about objects that range from magnificent to the prosaic. We're talking about solid gold chariots. Wow. thousands of golden artifacts, jewelry, statues. It even went to the prosaic of linen loincloths. So you can see here that the ancient Egyptians, they did believe in an afterlife, but in an afterlife in which they could take earthly possessions with them. But all those treasures intended for the boy king's eternal pleasure and in eternal enjoyment, well, guess where they went? They didn't. They stayed put right there for more than 3,000 years until they were discovered by Howard Carter in 1922. Buried treasure. And then King Tut's treasure then went on multiple exhibitions for the world to see. And if I'm not mistaken, again, that started, I think it was right around the 1960s, but it really took off in the 2000s. So I gave all this further thought that the King Tut exhibit, and it's fabulous antiquities and those artifacts. I was like, breathtaking. And it was publicly displayed for our enjoyment. And millions upon millions of visitors oohed and awed over these treasures, this abundance of riches. Yet, to me, the exhibit served as an important reminder, a reminder that you can't take it with you. Yeah, it's like the story that was once told about John D. Rockefeller. Here's one of the wealthiest men in the entire United States, in fact, probably ever. And after he died, someone asked his accountant, and they said, "How much money did John leave?" And it's a classic reply. He said, "He left all of it." Right? Well, Harmony Faith Community, today's scripture passage puts us on notice, and it's on notice like these big flashing red and blue neon lights. And that treasure is saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that treasure, for emphasis, is typically understood to be money and possessions. So, did you know, and I always love these did you knows, and it's always, again, a good reminder, 15% of what everything that Jesus said was about money and possessions. 15%, right? There was a till, what? 15%. That's more than a combination of everything he had to say about heaven and hell. Really? So, and it's true. So why did Jesus stress this? Because, you see, there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about and handle money. Central to our spiritual lives is our approach to money and possessions. You see, here's Jesus, and he's talking about a true treasure that is immeasurable. It endures forever. However, when it comes to the world, we get these mixed messages. And I'm sure, and it doesn't even come close to what Jesus had to say. And I'm sure you've heard these mixed messages. We got, on the one hand, we're told, "Oh, the sky's about to fall. Hoard your money. Hide it. Right? And then on the other hand, we've got, "Oh, spend that money. Spend it, people. Buy everything that you can because, you know, he, she, they who owns the most, they win." Right? He's like, "Woo, woo, woo." And there's Jesus, and he's tilting his head, and he's saying, "Really? Really?" And then he throws down a challenge. And we all know, it's like, "Oh, Jesus, did you really have to throw down another challenge?" Right? Who likes a Jesus challenge? But ultimately, it's what's good for us. And like I said, he puts us on notice. For in today's reading of the scripture, Jesus is challenging his listeners to confront what and whom they worship. Are they worshiping themselves? Are they worshiping something else? Or are they worshiping the living God? Jesus warns us about how much energy that we're placing upon and exerting and gaining and acquiring earthly treasures. He warns us because this type of treasure is transient, temporary. It leads, and actually does lead, to feelings of insecurity. This, and it's a well-worn pathway. It has been well-worn for a long time. And it becomes this all-consuming pursuit that we can easily lose ourselves. Yes, indeed, because it causes us to lose sight of both God and other people, and oftentimes is those who are closest to us. Collecting, storing, burying treasure for our own benefit. Folks, it is not a higher purpose. That is not a higher purpose. Our higher purpose isn't to acquire things to fill our rooms and closets. Our higher purpose isn't to fill up an annex, an antechamber, a treasury, so it just stays there when we die. Because you know what? If someone is counting that to be valuable and then I'm telling and doing all that, then watch out, because I'm telling you that when it comes time for them to go on to glory, they are going to be bitter. They're going to be leaving reluctantly. When Jesus warns us to store up and not store up treasures on this earth, I think of it this way. It's not because our money might be lost. We'll say that again. It's not because our money might be lost. It's because our money will always be lost. Either it leaves us while we live, or we leave it when we die. Think about that. There is no exceptions around that. Our higher purpose ties into those treasures in heaven that come from loving God and loving people. That which moth and rust, they can't touch this, right? That which thieves, they're going to try as they might, they can't find a way to steal it. Mm-mm. A heart attuned to heavenly treasures stores up mercy, grace, and justice. And it's revealed in relationships made right. Jesus was trying to help us refocus. He became the divine optometrist because he was saying, folks, I want to correct your vision, right? I want you to keep an eye on the eternal, the life of the age to come. From Psalm 24:1, I love this verse. It's, we are told the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And if we go with this, God owns everything. God owns everything. That's, so all the stuff that we have, it's God's. Everything. That includes our books and electronics, our kitchenware, clothes, jewelry, even Elliot's bass guitar that he loves, right? Houses, cars, oh, watch out, our toys. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, we, that's you and me, we are God's treasure. How's that feel? We are God's treasure. Mm. Because that right there is the all who live in it part. During my time of reflection for today's message, this verse from Psalm 24:1 and these thoughts, along with the where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, it gave me pause. Treasure, stuff, own. So what I did was I took a moment this week and I did a visual inventory of what it is that's in my home. And what I did was I took it a step further and I thought, you know what, Mark, let's just go ahead and just go completely into the uncomfortable and let's bring out the bank statements, let's bring out the credit card statements, and let's take a look and see. And what I did was I asked myself, what is it that I value? What is it that I value? And on top of that is, on what have I placed value, to see what it is, those treasures on earth that I've placed importance upon, of significance. And have I collected all of this for my benefit? But if so, for what purpose? Is there been a purpose behind that? And on top of that, how could I have invested what I have for the good of others? So I did all of that reflection. Now, I understand that I wasn't trying to shame myself. I wasn't doing this, ooh, bad Mark. Down to the nether regions you go, brother. Down to the nether regions, right? No, what I wanted to do was I was taking this moment because I wanted to see things in a different light. I wanted to take a different perspective on this matter. I mean, if I'm preaching it, I might as well live it, right? I want to keep myself in check. There's a check and balances here. Because you think about it, if God owns everything, that includes my money. I am the divine creator's steward, money manager. I've been entrusted with assets. And now what I just said, I'm going to turn on to the plural, because we've been entrusted with assets. We, right? To manage for the owner's benefit. And who's the owner? God, right? And furthermore, if we go further on this, it's upon us, all of us, to find out what God, the owner, wants done with the assets. Huh, that takes a little bit of work, doesn't it? You know, it's pretty cool that our name is on God's account. I think that's pretty cool. Shauna Carroll. Right there on God's account. But in doing so, that's what it's saying is the Holy One trusts us. The Holy One trusts us to set up our own expenses, set up our own salaries, to be able to say, take what needed funds you need to pay for those living expenses, to determine, hey, what's a reasonable amount to live upon, to take care of ourselves, to be healthy. And then what? Well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because Jesus knows where the money is going, and where it goes is going to shape our hearts. And in this then what question, as our own Dr. Larry High Jr. says often when he does the Joy Box, he says, God loves a cheerful giver, right? God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. However, that cheerfulness often comes during and after that act of obedience. Think about that. Our giving is a reflexive response to God's grace in our lives. It doesn't come out of our altruism or our philanthropy so that we might, ooh, congratulations, oh, yes, right? Rather, it comes out of Christ's transforming work in us. It's transformative. We give because the Holy One gave to us. While our giving to God pales in comparison to what we have been given, it pleases God when we follow what Jesus has taught us to do. Friends, Jesus cares about our hearts. Jesus cares about us. Jesus longs for our hearts to be at peace and wants us to invest our lives in the things of God. Rather than accumulating earthly treasures that more than likely, you know, and you think about it, you accumulate all these earthly treasures, and oftentimes you're like, ooh, I know you're playing, then what happens after a few days, a couple of months, what happens? Goes up on a shelf, typically. And then you forget about it, and it gathers dust, and then maybe 10 years later you look and go, oh, look at that, huh? And then it still stays up there, right? Buried treasure. But why not consider making our lives one long gift to others? And you know who said that? Novelist Stephen King. Stephen King said that, and I like that a lot. Consider making our lives one long gift to others. Friends, in the 1980s and the 1990s, I will be the first to admit I was truly more interested in collecting earthly treasures for my own benefit here. It was in the late 1990s that I began to be an incremental giver, the late 1990s. And that was at least in regards to finances. It was in 2006, and I will always remember this, I had a transformative, life-changing moment, and it occurred in which I never looked back, and it coincided with a mission trip to help others who had suffered significant loss during the Hurricane Katrina. And this is when I acknowledged in 2006, God, I need your help. I ask God to give me the desire to lay up treasure in heaven instead of treasure for me. And this is when everything changed. Everything. I do mean everything. And you know, it took me several years to work my tail off to get rid of all that debt that I had accumulated all the while. All that while, I gave. I started giving and giving more and giving more. I opened up my fists that had been so tightly clenched, and I opened them up. And by doing that, I released all that anxiety that I was feeling. But what happened was I started receiving, because my hands were now open, and I started receiving what God wanted me to have. I was able to redo that. And then what happened, I was led to move forward. And that's what you can do as well. Treasures in heaven and the lasting of the here and now, the eternal. Giving, and I'm going to talk, it's like radical giving, has brought me closer to God than anything else in my life. And folks, I have found profound happiness in doing so. Happiness that is immeasurable. I'm in full agreement with this quote by the late, great Maya Angelou, who was an amazing poet, civil rights activist, and she said, "I have found that among its other benefits, giving liberates the soul of the giver." And without a doubt, absolutely and unequivocally. As I now wrap up the first of our two Where Your Treasure messages, I'm going to bring forward two action opportunities. These are challenges for you. I urge you, take on one of them. In fact, if you really are game for it, Jason Hecht, go for two of them, right? All right, so that first action is, interestingly, and I think Rev Jefferson can relate to this as well, is it's a prayer walk. Take a prayer walk. Walk around in the neighborhood. You can go take a walk in the neighborhood, go to the forest, go to the beaches, wherever it is. But as you walk, what I want you to do is center yourself. Center yourself and take that moment. And really, truly, it's not only good healthy to take a walk, it's good spiritually as well. And what I want you to do is you're taking that walk, I want you to ask yourself, what do I treasure? What is it that I treasure? And then ask God to give you insight into what you should treasure. What is it that you should treasure? So the second action challenge is to set aside some time and give some thought to these two questions here. And one is, what do you want to invest in? What do you want to invest in? And I'm talking, if you didn't have any debt, if you had no commitments or restrictions, what would you want to invest in? But the second question is, what are you currently investing in? Where are you spending your time and your energy? Where are you spending your money? So these are, again, I bring these to you because these two questions, these two challenges that I just brought up, they tie well into what I have shared with you this morning. So now next week, next Sunday, our pastoral intern, Jace Lucas, is going to provide us with a message for such a time as this. And he's going to build off what I have shared with you today. And we look forward to receiving the word from Jace as Christ works through him. Amen. Amen. So friends, let us now rise. Sing, rejoice, and praise God, rise as you are able, as Melinda and the worship band lead us in this morning's closing song.
And as you feel comfortable, you can pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor. Simply wave. You can give an elbow or a fist bump, whatever you feel comfortable doing in this time.
You called us. You reached out to save us. You conquered the grave. You crossed the deep.